I love that the lectionary brought us right back to John 20, right where we left off last week on Easter Sunday. God has so much for us today. We could have sermons in all the passages, but we're focusing it in. but he has much for us. But so last Sunday, our passage ended as Mary Magdalene and Jesus had an encounter. He revealed himself to her there at the tomb and then sent her back to the disciples to tell them. And she found them and said, "I have seen the Lord." And she gave them his message. So that ended at verse 18, and we pick up in verse 19 today. So It's still Easter. It's still the morning that Jesus rose. So here we go. John 20, we are in verses 19 to 31. Wow. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound on my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me."
Amen.
The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, Amen. The Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have power, you will have life by the power of his name.
Amen.
Amen. Gracious God, you are holy and you are good. Jesus, you are risen and your resurrection changes everything. Lord, would you just walk with us through this time, Lord. Would you help your word come alive, the specific word and message that you have for each person here. Lord, would you just go forth and do the work that you have to be done. May the meditations of my mind and my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, along with the words of my mouth that are given by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the disciples were afraid. They had heard that Jesus had risen, but they were locked in their room, right, behind closed doors. Or think about times where there's been uncertainty and fear in my life, our lives, right? And think back to when the pandemic flipped things upside down and suddenly everything was closed and everything was changed and we weren't going to work in school and other places, a lot of us anyway, hiding away in some ways, right, in our homes. Our son took a field trip a week ago down to Boston to go to a Holocaust exhibit that has been traveling around. And I was reminded of when I was in sixth grade and came across the book Anne Frank in the library. And I hadn't known about that at that point in time yet. And I was so struck and just heartbroken. So I checked the book out. I couldn't bring myself to read very far. But I remembered in my 20s when I worked at the American Pharmacists Association, we had leaders in town and took them to the Holocaust Museum there in D.C. and walked through and just seeing the evidence of that and trying to even imagine what that fear must have been like for people that were living in that time and walking, hiding away, right? Mm-hmm. So So as we look at our passage on this side of the cross, it's easy for us to judge the disciples and say, come on, Jesus told you he was going to rise. Why are you afraid? But walking real time through the challenges that life brings, it's hard, right? So these are some extreme examples. But we have examples that we walk through in our lives every day that catch us by surprise, or that make fear rise up in us, questions and uncertainty, and suddenly things aren't the way they were yesterday, and we don't know how we're going to do. So pick up at our passage. As we mentioned, Mary Magdalene had encountered Jesus, just this beautiful encounter. He called her by name. She recognized him finally as he spoke, and he sent her to tell the disciples. And so as we pick up in this next verse, it is still the same day, and we know that, or we'll see that there are echoes from that passage into this one. But in between that, in between Mary having her encounter with Jesus and coming to the disciples to say, to share his message that he had risen, some other things we know from other gospel passages have also happened this day. There were two people that were leaving Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus, walking along, and Jesus comes alongside them. They don't recognize him, and he's opening the scriptures to them, and they eventually end up in their home, and he breaks bread, and they recognize him, and he disappears. Mm-hmm. And then they run back to Jerusalem and tell the disciples. So these things are, so the disciples are afraid, and they're behind closed doors, right? Locked, deadbolted, closed doors, but they're processing all of this. Like, what does this mean? Like, he said he was going to rise. These things are happening. They're trying to figure it out. So in the midst of fear, maybe some despair, there's like this, these bubbles of hope, right? Maybe. confusion, trying to reconcile everything that they were hearing and processing. And while they are behind that closed door, something amazing happens, right? Just this beautiful gift, mm-hmm. as we've already seen, don't fully understand, but Jesus, despite the fact that the door being locked, appears among them. He's risen, and he's no longer limited by his human form, by a human form, but he is still but he still has his body. So he's not a disembodied spirit, but he's also not limited by being human as we are in this world. So what did Jesus do? Like, so he, in one of the Gospels, tells us that he asked Mary to tell him, go to Galilee and I'll meet you there, right? I'll go ahead of you. Well, they were back in Jerusalem hiding in this room. I don't know if this is the same room that they were in for the Last Supper, but they were in a place that they felt secure. So they didn't go there, right? Mary Magdalene had been out seeking Jesus. She wanted to be able to anoint his body earlier that morning. So she was actively seeking, and he revealed himself to her. The disciples were hiding, right? They weren't looking for them. They were still paralyzed in fear, even if hope was beginning to rise. But what did he do?
He showed up.
He came to them. He met them where they were. Mm-hmm. Right? He does that for us too. Amen. So he came to them. Still he came. Everything had changed overnight for them. They were grieving. They were like, what did Judas do? Like, that just happened just a couple days before. They're still processing all of that. They watched John, who's writing this, watched Jesus die on the cross. So much that they're walking through. And Jesus knows, and he comes to them. And what is the first thing that he says?
Peace.
Peace, right? He offers them peace. So why do you think he says that?
Because they're scared out of their minds right now.
Exactly. Like, they're just in absolute turmoil. But he offers them peace. And just a few days earlier during the Last Supper, he was teaching, I give you peace, not as the world gives you. Like, he is that source of peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. He brings us peace, and that's the first thing that he offers to them. So as we stop and think, other leaders in this world, I told you to go somewhere and do something, and they show up, and of course he finds them hiding, right? Finds the disciples hiding. Is that how we would expect a leader in this world to act? No, like, he didn't ridicule them. He didn't shame them. He didn't even challenge them. He didn't say, why are you still here? Like, didn't I say, like, nothing. What did he do? He just moved. He came and met them where they were, and he moved toward them in compassion and mercy and love and offering them peace. Such a contrast to what we might expect from people, what we might do ourselves. How many times with one of our guys, like, what did I tell you? Or what did I ask you? You know? Not Jesus. He offers them mercy and compassion and peace. And what does he do? As he's offering them peace, he shows them his wounds. They're not asking. He's not like, see, I told you. Like, just gently, he's showing them, like, this is me. And they recognize him, right? And when they saw the Lord, they knew, right, that it was him. And what was their response? Joy, right? Yeah. They were filled with joy. Their circumstance hadn't changed. The things around them hadn't changed. A lot changed because Jesus is risen. Everything changed because Jesus is risen, right? Because of the resurrection. Yeah. But they were still in the same level of danger that they were, that they had been in before. Like, they weren't suddenly, like, whisked out of their room and off to a safe island somewhere.
Yeah,
like, they still, but they had absolute joy and peace because the risen Lord
Amen.
Was right there with them, offering them peace, sharing them, not shaming them for being afraid or hiding away, right? They were filled with joy. So hold on to this, because we're going to come back to this in our other passage. But knowing that he had indeed risen. And he loved them, brought them great joy. Great joy. Now watch this. In response to their joy, what does Jesus say again?
Peace.
Peace be with you. As the Father had, and then he goes on to say, but so it shows us that whether we are in turmoil or in joy, our source of peace is Jesus. If we will look to him. So he offers it again. And then he goes on to say, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So he gives them peace, and along with that, he gives them a charge, and he connects them with him and with his Father. So as the Father sent me, I am sending you. And then what does he do? He equips them, he breathes his Holy Spirit into them, and he invites them to receive the Holy Spirit. Like, he doesn't force anything on any of us, right? He offers them peace. They can take it or not. I'm still afraid. They can choose to take it or not. We can choose to take it or not. He breathes the Holy Spirit and invites them to receive it. And with that, he's equipping them. He's equipping them for the work that he has for them to do, that the world might know that God sent him.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
So their authority comes from their identity in him. And so when he talks about the Holy Spirit, the word that's used here is parakletos, which is used only 5 times in the New Testament. 4 of them are in those passages in that upper room during the Last Supper, when he's talking about sending the Holy Spirit to them. He talks about being an advocate, and we'll see again where that word is used again in our 1 John passage. And so it's then at this point, so after he meets them where they are, he offers them peace, invites them, empowers them with the Holy Spirit. Then we learn that Thomas is not here, right? He's missing among them. And be careful as we read, because again, it's so easy to judge Thomas for doubting, right? It's like, why won't you believe us? Well, did they believe Mary and Magdalene when she came and said that he'd risen? No. He showed himself. He said, look, my wounds. I am here, and they believed. And so they're trying to make Thomas believe, and Thomas is like, I'm not buying it. I won't believe it until I see it. But do we not all sometimes have questions or doubts?
Yeah.
In the things that we walk through? Like, God, I know that you promise that you will provide for us. actually really, I'm feeling really insecure right now. Mm-hmm. We always have those doubts. And so this is happening, and they again, all together, they're still behind in the room with the door locked. This time Thomas was with him. But there would be 8 days between when Jesus was there and when he did come back and give Thomas that opportunity too. But so Thomas sounds like he's being super demanding. Why are you demanding that you have to see it too? Why are you demanding that you need to touch the wounds, put your fingers where they were? But after 8 days passed, how gentle and sweet Jesus is, he comes back, right? He again meets them where they are. It's a very parallel situation. They're alone. The door is locked. He appears among them. And what does he say? Peace be with you, right? Offers them peace in the midst of their circumstance. And then he looks directly at Thomas. And it's not a, why are you thinking? He just looks at Thomas. He knows what Thomas was needing and wanting. He says, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. And what was Thomas's response?
My Lord and my God.
Yeah, my Lord and my God. Like, he knew. He didn't have to put his fingers in those places, and he didn't. But Jesus met him, too, where he was. And then he goes on to say, you believe because you see me. He's talking to Thomas, but it's all of them, because they didn't believe until they saw him either. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Because here we are, more than 2,000 years later, and we know and we believe. Amen. We didn't see this happen back in this time, but through the sharing of other people, and then evidence and noticing his moves in our own lives, mm-hmm. we see him too, right? So the same is with us. So notice, as I mentioned, that he invited Thomas to touch those places, but he didn't need to. So what Jesus did is he made each of his disciples an eyewitness, right, to his resurrection, and others too, not just them. And over time, Lori read the passage last week, 1,500, where he would, and that they would know and they would see, and that they would know that that Jesus is Lord, came to take away our sins and to give us life. Life eternal with him in heaven, and life right now.
Amen.
In the life that we're walking daily, that we don't have to walk in our own power, trying to manufacture and strive for peace on our own that we can't possibly do, but boy, I know I try. I don't know about you, but we can rely on him for that. So he equipped them, right? He breathed his Holy Spirit on him. And I love our First John passage today, read by John this morning, because it's such a beautiful example. It's their testimony of what they saw. It was an example of the way that they would share. We'll be walking over these next few weeks. The New Testament reading each time, so we're going to be walking through some of 1 John. But in this beginning, we proclaim, testify and proclaim, testify and is all through this passage. But we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, they who had seen the risen Lord, we're saying, the one who existed from the beginning, who we heard and we've seen, we saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life. Came to live among us, our living, risen Word of life. We testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He is eternal life. We proclaim that we ourselves have seen and heard. It's just this ongoing, like, we know, and they are sharing, because if they don't share, how do people know? How would we be sitting here, standing here today, knowing and trusting that he is present with us in our lives and walking with us and offering us peace and his Spirit and equipping and provision in ways that we just don't even always know. And he goes on to say, so that you may have fellowship with us, And our fellowship, again, he's connecting. Our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus. So John, we have the disciples, is saying, so that we who are reading, we who he was writing to at this yeah. time in history, would have fellowship with them. And together, sorry, I'm making noise, our fellowship is with the Father and Jesus, his Son. Because we're writing these things so that you may fully share in our joy. Again, that joy that they experience with the risen. Wow, sorry, I'll stand very still. with the risen Lord. And during that Last Supper, just pouring out teaching that is just so good, passage after passage after passage that we read through, one of the things that Jesus spoke to his disciples in that room that night before he was betrayed, he said that the joy that he gives is complete and that cannot be taken away. There's nobody that can take away that joy.
Yeah.
A lot of other things can be taken away in our lives by other people. In some cases, we feel like people steal joy that we have in different things, but this is joy that cannot be taken away, the joy of the Lord that is within us. So the question is, one of many questions, how willing are you or I to share what we've seen as an encouragement to somebody? Not that we need to be walking around bopping people on the head with our Bible, but when we have those moments and someone is feeling discouraged or in turmoil or walking through things that are hard, are we willing to offer those moments where we have seen him move?
Amen.
Yes.
In our community here, Easter morning, there was a young woman who was found. She passed away. They've been mourning her at the school all week. I mean, since this has happened, her family in California. She somehow, we don't know all the details, but ended up in a place without help. It's like we don't ever know what kind of encouragement we might be able to offer someone in a moment and how God could possibly use that. But
Amen.
We see pain around us and brokenness. We live in a really, I mean, we say now it's a broken world. We all through history, like
every day,
right? Life gets difficult. And the good news is that Jesus is with us.
Amen.
And he offers us peace and the strength to endure and so much more. This passage goes on to say, this is the message that we heard from Jesus and now declared to you, that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. And then he goes on and there's some challenge in this passage, right? That talks about if we're walking in darkness or living in darkness, then we're not walking in the light. If we say we have no sin, then we are deceiving ourselves. And you've probably heard me preach that time and time again, that the ESV version says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is the NLT. If we claim we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves and not living in the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
His word says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is true. And I don't know how it makes you feel when I say that, because I know some of us have walked through really difficult things in churches and with other people who have made us feel condemned and shameful for sin. And so there's this wrestling back and forth, but I say it not so that we can see sin and say that we're bad and feel ashamed. No, not that, but so that we can see his goodness.
Amen.
What he really, really did, because we really, really need him. He does not take us to a place of condemnation and shame. What did he do? He walked into that room and he offered them peace and love and mercy and compassion. And that is what he does. So recognizing our own ways that we fall short, not to say, wow, I'm really bad. It's just to recognize, okay, maybe I'm not as perfect as I would like to think that I am. Maybe I'm not as nice and kind and good or honest or whatever any of those things are. But he sees us. He knows. He loves us. And he forgives us.
Yeah.
Right? The beautiful thing here is the end of all of these, and I think I skipped over, yeah, is there's good news behind each one of these. Even though it says, the passage says, if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself, it just goes on to say, he forgives. Confess to him. He forgives. He does it. Like, he walks toward us with compassion, mm-hmm. and love and mercy. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So there's this back and forth. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, and this is the other place where that word, that parakletos, is used, this time talking about Jesus in heaven, who is also our advocate. And I know in our small group study, we wrestled with this a little bit. We're like, what? Jesus has to defend us to God? Like, we were wrestling with, what does that mean with him as our advocate? But again, it is our helper, our counselor. And he's not pleading because God is ready to clobber us over the head. He's pleading for us to have strength and for us to have endurance to walk through the things that we walk through. He's praying that we would have peace. One of my devotions that I've been walking through this week has been, they've been reflections on the Holy Spirit each morning. And one of them was talking about Jesus, or the Holy Spirit is our advocate, and Jesus our advocate. Also is the amazing thing, thinking about, you know, the sounds of heaven, and among the sounds of heaven is Jesus praying our name, your name, on your behalf, in love. And mercy. Praying for peace. His Holy Spirit is our advocate, our counselor, our advisor, our helper. We may get nudged and convicted a little bit sometimes when we're like, oh, I really shouldn't have said that. I had I don't know how it's going for you, but I had an opportunity to practice this week. I was really wrestling with something in an interpersonal kind of a thing. And I did not like the things I was thinking. I didn't like the things that I was feeling, and I was really wrestling with it because it related to someone that I loved. And so you wouldn't have seen it externally. They might have heard it in my tone of voice a little bit.
Yeah.
I'd like to say it was invisible. But I was wrestling with a friend. I'm like, I know that God's word says he can transform our minds and our hearts in Christ Jesus. He's making us more and more into the likeness of him.
Amen.
And I'm wrestling with this because I'm frustrated and I'm mad and maybe I'm a little envious. Like, there were just all these things rising up in me and I didn't like it. But I could stuff them. Like, we can stuff those feelings, right?
Yeah.
But then they just come out sideways in another way, right? But really being able to say, God, I'm wrestling with this. I don't want to be feeling this way toward this person in this situation. I need your help. I need your compassion because I'm out of it right now because I'm trying to do it myself, right? So what about you? And things that we've been walking through. I mean, we look at these last few weeks, we're dealing with power outages and things like that. A bridge collapsed in Baltimore. The tragedy with the Bowdoin student, the war and humanitarian crisis that they're going on around us, there are things that happen that are really difficult in our own worlds. Life interruptions happen, and they turn things upside down, sometimes in a moment, right? But will we turn to the one who offers us peace?
Amen.
He breathes his spirit into us and empowers us and calls us, encourages us, and loves us, who speaks love and hope and encouragement as we make decisions, as we endure conflict, close and far, work, family, as we walk through loss, seasons of change, betrayal, people that we trusted. Amid confusion and fear and loneliness, that we don't have to isolate ourselves and hide away, because Jesus is the one who so loved and came and meets us where we are.
Amen.
Right? For me, 10, 11, how many years ago it was at this point, met me on the beach with a friend. I was in a really difficult moment. And then at other times in a hospital room with my mom, in our upper room here, by the water last weekend as we were putting flowers on the cross, the doves were cooing. And it's just that reminder of the holy, woo-hoo. Just that I hear that every time I hear that, it's just like, Jesus, like, I'm here with you. Like, it's just, he does that. Will we notice?
Yes.
Where will it be for you? Where is it? Is it writing a paper? Is it engaging with somebody? But he is the one. So he comes to us and he meets us where we are. He understands what we're going through and gives us evidence and encouragement as he showed the disciples his hands. He offers peace when we're wrestling and even when we're in times of joy. He gives us joy in his presence. My thing here says, whoops, there goes my phone. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
It is. It is. His presence brings us joy. He connects us in fellowship with him and the Father. He breathes his Holy Spirit as he breathes it into them, breathes it into us, dwells within us, all believers. And he helps us in our unbelief, in our wrestling. So John closes this passage. I love this so much. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. And then the next chapter, which seems to be added on afterwards, closes very similarly. And he says, goes on to say that there were so many other things that Jesus did that the world itself could not possibly hold all the books if it were to have been written down, right? So we get a taste. We have his word, our risen, living word of God. Will we believe it? Will we rely on it when things are hard and when things are going really well and we're running on all cylinders? Will we stay close? Will we live like it's true?
Amen.
Will we let him bring our peace?
Amen.
Strengthen us. Conform us, or not conform us, transform us, not conform to the world. Transform us into his likeness. Amen. Our risen, living word of God, our Savior, King. Will we keep him Lord of our life? Let's pray. Gracious God, you are holy and mighty and powerful, and you love us more than we can think or possibly even imagine. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you meet us where we are, that you don't judge our fears and missteps and wrestling with questions and unbelief, but that you move toward us with compassion and mercy and love, that you bring hope, you restore our faith, you build the faith up of the disciples so that they could walk through what was ahead for them that you called them to do. Lord, we know that there are moments in our lives where you bring people into our circle. Lord, would you just help us to notice that? Lord, would you help us to notice the doves cooing or the ways that you speak individually to each one of us? Would you help us to notice you in our daily life, to draw peace and strength and wisdom and deepen our faith in you? Praise you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.